love being a father, having fun, teaching them right and wrong, you know, letting them know who's boss. It's great. It's great being a father. You know, our father scoped us and they mold us into what we are and as individuals. And I'd like to say our father is our teacher, first of all. In Psalms, it says, I will instruct thee and teach you in the ways that thou shalt go. It says also in Proverbs, hear, my son, your father instructs you. It's our obligation, I think, as fathers, to begin to teach our children things. And we teach our children things something different than that the mothers teach their children. There's two different roles in the house. And so, you know, I think about some of the things that I've had to teach my children. And I told the guys the other night, I've tried to teach them to be good workers and to understand carpentry and all kinds of different trades. And I said, guys, I said, I want you to start paying back your student loan. And they said, what's going on? They said, I don't have a student loan to you. And I said, oh, sure you do. You went to my school. I've taught you for over 20 years. It's time to pay me back. Give me some money back. But it's great to opportunity to invest in our kids. And it's our obligation to teach. Now, I'd like to say this morning, I want to talk about us as earthly fathers, but also I want to parallel it between our heavenly father. And so teaching our kids is important. It's important to teach our children. You know, I think it's important for us to teach our boys to be boys, just like our girls to be girls. And, you know, I know at our place, the boys were boys. I don't know about your house, but sometimes the wrestling matches would get out of, out of control. And some of the crazy things they do, I didn't get to share this in the first, but I'm going to share this now. I just got to share one crazy story about boys. Joel, my middle one, he was kind of like the guinea pig in the family. You could talk him into anything. You know, he didn't even think before he did it. Matthew was probably 10 years old. He tells Joel, he's like, tie that rope on your underwear and jump out of the tree. So Joel's like, sure, okay, Matt. He jumps out of the tree. His underwear doesn't break and his legs are dangling. Do I need to say any more? But boys can be boys. I think we need to invest in our children. We have to teach them things. And, you know, I think an important thing for us to teach our children is the things of God. I think we need to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. In Joshua, it says, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to teach our children as fathers to serve the Lord. That should be a priority. I know growing up, Sunday was just a day we went to church. We didn't have a choice. It was non-optional. You know how like today you give your child choices. You know, growing up in my day and age, we never had a choice. My mom was like, you know, who cares if you're sick? Get yourself to church. You know, we weren't allowed to play sports on Sunday. And, you know, we had to have that religious nap every Sunday afternoon. I don't know why they thought like an 8-year-old or 10-year-old wanted to do that. He wanted to go play baseball or something. But we had, you know, we were raised in a different era in a different way. But, you know, our parents taught us things like respect and honor. They taught us to respect and honor. Even, you know, like the gentleman that shot the people in the church, I thought about that. And, I mean, we can blame all kinds of things that attributed to that. But, you know, there was a day and age where we respected the house of the Lord. And that wouldn't be done. The house of the Lord was a sacred place. You would never think that somebody would walk into a church and shoot people because there's a lack of respect there. You know, we respect God. We respect his house and the place, and we reverence him. So that's how I was raised. But we as parents, as fathers, you know, we need to raise our kids in the ways of the Lord. You know, our Heavenly Father has given us his Holy Spirit, and the Bible says he's our teacher. Now, everything we need to be, he'll teach us in his word. And he'll teach us it through our spirit. But we have to make that connection. We have to realize our Father is there to teach us things. He teaches us right and wrong. He teaches us to respect. He teaches us to love one another. He teaches us to give. He gives us a heart of compassion for people. Our Heavenly Father is why we exist today. I've got to tell a story before we move on because I jumped right over it. But when I was a kid, I loved the snowmobile. My dad had snowmobiles. When I was 10 years old, this was 1976, so I'm kind of giving my age away. My dad bought me a brand new Jag 2000 Arctic Cat, and man, was it nice. You know, I'm 10, and you know, and today if you give a 10-year-old something like that, they'd probably haul you off to jail. You know, but back then it was a little different. And I can remember we went out to the back of the farm at my grandfather's farm, and we were snowmobiling around, and I hit this drift that kind of went off the quarry, and I upset it, and I rolled it, and broke the windshield. My dad checked to make sure I was okay, and he said, look, when we get back to the farm, pull out behind the barn. And I never asked no questions, so we pulled out behind the barn. He got off his snowmobile, he took his windshield off of his machine, put it on my machine, and said, don't tell your mother. My mother would never have let me get on one again. But I knew right then my dad had my back. Our Father has our back. You know, he taught me at a young age. He was always there for me. He always had my back. He was going to look out for me at all costs. Our Father wants to bless us is our second fill-in. The word says, the Lord has been mindful of us, and he blesses us, and he blesses the house of Israel. He wants us to be blessed. That's his focal thing. He wants us to be blessed. In Matthew, it says, or what man is there among you, if his son asks him for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those that ask him? Our fathers want us to be blessed. Our father wants us to receive good gifts from him. He has all kinds of gifts laid there for us, but it's for us to receive. Sometimes we miss that point. You know, just like it says, if we ask for a loaf of bread, is he going to give us a stone? I don't think we would do that to any of our kids, would we? You know, when they ask for a pair of shoes, we want to give them what they want. They'll go right for Nike or Reebok or Puma, or we give them the best. Our Father wants the best for us in every aspect of our life. He wants us to be blessed. He wants to bless you because he loves you. Don't lose sight of your Father. You might have grown up in a home that your father wasn't a good father. But see, we have a Heavenly Father that wants to bless us, wants to give us good things. Sometimes we just need to get to know our Heavenly Father to get a good perspective on what fatherhood should be. My dad always wanted to bless me no matter what I did. And he was, anytime he seen something on sale at Canadian Tire, if he bought duplicates. Like I know I have a battery charger in my garage right now. They were on sale and he bought me one. And I'm like, Dad, why'd you buy that? He goes, well, it was on sale. I thought you needed one. I already had one. But he was that way. He always wanted to bless me. He always wanted to bless me. He wanted the best for me. My grandparents were the same way. They were always wanting to bless me, you know, whether it be not just financially, but it would be either financially or, you know, my grandmother would make something special for me or, you know, my mom would, you know. But our fathers want to bless us. We want to bless our kids. He wants to bless us. I think when we take that mentality that our kids know that we're there for them, they'll live a better life. I think blessing them and teaching them, I think it scopes them, it molds them into a better person, right? We're trying to instill good attributes and good things in our children. God wants us to be successful, right? He wants every individual here to be successful. He wants you to do well. He wants you to be blessed. Our Father is our protector. Now, I broke that down in two different, in an A and B, for a reason. Our Father keeps us safe, okay? In Psalms, I'm going to read a little bit more than I did in the first one. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. And he will cover you with his wing, or he will cover you with his feather, and under his wing will you take refuge. Now, our God, our Father, wants to keep us safe, just like the natural father does. Do you think when your kid falls and he skins his knee, you pick him up and you care for him? He cares for us. You don't want your kid to be hurt, you know? I can remember taking the boys to the barn, and the cows would come right up different times when they were young, and they might be scared, and I'd pick them up. They felt safe when they were with me. You know, a duck, it takes its wing and puts it around a little duckling and keeps it safe. Well, that's how it is with our Heavenly Father. He keeps us tucked right in here, and I seen a picture of a little duckling under the wing of its mother, just the head was sticking out, just peeping out. But that duckling was safe. That's how we are with our Heavenly Father. We're in a safe place. Sometimes we look at things and we're scared. And we shouldn't be scared because we're living in a safe place. If you're living for Jesus, you're living in a safe place. You're tucked right in underneath his wing. He's there. He's your protector. He's our protector. Our Father fights for you. Were you ever a little kid and you're in a playground and you get in an argument with another little kid and you say, don't do that. My dad's bigger than your dad. You hit me, I'm going to get my dad. Our dad is bigger than anybody else's dad, right? We have a Father in heaven that fights for us. He stands up for us. When I was 16, I had a little Volkswagen Rabbit, and this bully in town took my gas cap off the car. I come home, and my dad said, "Where's your gas cap?" And I said, "Oh, this guy." I said, "You know him. He took my gas cap." He said, "No problem." He said, "I'll get it back." Because the guy was a lot bigger than me. My dad jumped in his vehicle, drove over, confronted the guy right at the little convenience store in town and said, "Hey, you took my son's gas cap. You give it back to me right now." The guy is like, "Oh, okay, sir." You know, brings it back, gives it to me, puts it on his car. But my dad stuck up for me. Sometimes we don't realize that our Father is on our side. He's sticking up for us. He's fighting on our behalf. He's fighting for us. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in, like a flood, God will stand up and push back the forces of darkness. There's no bully in your life that your Father can't destroy. There's no bully. There's no bully of sickness. There's no bully of addiction. There's no bully of poverty. There's no bullies in your life. There's no bullies of lack that your Father can't push back and destroy. We have a Father that's the creator of this universe that fights on our behalf. Everyone here, we need to get a mental picture of that. And then you'll walk around a little different. Well, my dad, he fights for me. You know, when you think of Brock Lesnar, you ever seen him? Great big monstrous wrestler. Do you think his son walks around timid? I don't think so. He walked anywhere with his father and said, "Look who's got with me, eh? My dad's big and my dad's strong." Well, my Savior's big and he's strong. He's big and he's strong. Is he not? You see, you've heard the saying, blood is thicker than water. Everybody heard that saying? Or is that just a New Brunswick saying? Blood is thicker than water. Well, I want you to know, when we make Jesus Christ our Savior, blood becomes thicker than water. Because of the blood of Jesus and what he's done for us, he is on our side. He is fighting for our battles. He is fighting on our behalf. He is putting back every attack the enemy will throw at us, any darts that come at us, because of the blood of Jesus. He's sticking up for me. When the enemy comes against me and says, "Oh, you can't do this. You're no good." That's when my Father steps in and says, "He's mine. I purchased him with the blood of Jesus. He's my son. He is my child. He is going to be okay. He is going to make it. And there's nothing you can do, Satan, to him." That's my Father. That's my Heavenly Father. Fourthly, our Father cares for us. "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for me. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Just as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him." And it says he'll bind up the broken heart. He cares for you. Today you need to know your Father cares for you, no matter what. Thought when Joel was a little fella, he was my middle son. I'm really proud of my kids. I got two boys and a little girl. But the boys were kind of like the experimental project. I used to tell them after Hannah come along, I said, "That little girl makes you guys look dumb. Because it took you 10 and 12 years to figure out what she figured out in 4 years. But Joel, we had a farm and we had lots of horses and they all had ponies. And I'll say ponies, you got to go through about 20 to get one good one. Because they're little painting devils. They are, them little things. And I don't know why they always let kids on them. They've got the worst temperament. They'll bite you, kick you, whatever. And Joel, he was just a little guy, and he wanted to ride his pony. Well, and this was a miniature. So, like, this was, like, no bigger than a dog. And he comes out, and he has his cowboy hat on, his big boots. He's only, like, I don't know, 7 years old, six. He wasn't very big. And he got in there, and he was going to cowboy around. And it wasn't going fast enough, the little pony, so he wanted the riding crop, and I give it to him, and he started nailing that little pony. And, of course, it was in a round pen, so which is not very big. And the faster that pony went, I think it went crazy. And Joel just, and anyhow, he crashed off of it and got trampled a little bit. Nothing any boy shouldn't be able to take. He should have got right up and just knocked the dust off him and said, "I'm John Wayne. I'm back here." But oh no, he was laying there crying, and his dad picked him up. He was so brokenhearted, I thought he must have had multiple broken bones by the way he was boo-hooing. And he was crying, and I carried him over to the barn, held him for a few minutes, laid him down on the table, prayed for him for a minute, and then all of a sudden he was healed. He was up, ready to roll again. But saying that is, when you fall, when your kids fall down and they skin your knee, do you not want to go over and pick them up and care for them? Do you not want to wrap your arms around them and say, "Everything's going to be okay, I love you"? Well, that's how our Father is to us, our Heavenly Father. When we fall and we make mistakes, when we have hurts, when we have things that strike us, a blow to us along the way, our Heavenly Father wraps his arms around us and loves us and cares for us. See, he cares for us. And he knows what we're going through. He knows every hurt. He knows every emotion. He knows every void in your life. Your Father cares for you. He loves you. He cares for you. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounded. That's the Father that I serve. That's the Father I'd like to be to my kids. Our Father makes sacrifices motivated by love. How many times do we make sacrifices for our kids to see them advance? I'd say you're not a true parent unless you're willing to give something up for your children. I think that's bred right in us. The odd person that's not like that, I don't understand that. I can't comprehend it. Sacrifice is the act of giving up something highly valued for the sake of something else considered to have a greater value. Did you get that? The act of giving up something highly valued for the sake of something else considered to have greater value. What did our Father do? Our Heavenly Father. He gave up something highly valued. He gave up his Son. Why? Because he considered something else to have greater value. You have a greater value. You have a greater value. I am so glad that my Heavenly Father gave up his Son on the cross for my life. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else feel like that? That's the greatest thing that can be done by a father, is to give something up for something greater. Maybe you didn't have a father in your natural life that was like that. But today you can have a spiritual father that is like that. That'll teach you things. That'll bless you when you need to be blessed. That'll keep you safe when you need to be kept safe. Will fight battles for you when you need a battle fought for you. Will care for you when you skin your knee. And all that, he'll love us. And he'll care for us. And he'll welcome us in. No matter how bad we've been. You know, parents are different than just, I don't know how to say it, but when I think of the prodigal son, I almost had a grandmother like that in some respect. I know we're talking about fathers, but how the son left, spent everything, had nothing, and he went back and his father took him in. Well, my grandmother was that way. The one I, you know, in New Brunswick, I spent a lot of time with. It didn't matter what I did, that woman loved me for who I was. I could never do no wrong in her eyes. It's the greatest feeling in life. When you have somebody in your life that'll accept you no matter what you do and take you and have, bring you in and sit you down and feed you and hug you and look after you. Well, that's what our Father is. That's what our Heavenly Father will do for us. At any time, he'll welcome us back. He'll love us. He'll care for us. He'll save us. Can we stand? As we bow our heads for prayer, if you're here today and you don't know the Heavenly Father that I'm talking about, you can know him. You can invite Jesus in your life. If you want to invite Jesus in your life today, this is your opportunity. If you'd like to raise your hand. And if you'd like to be the Father that I spoke about, or you'd like to meet that Father, you want to raise your hand? Let's first pray for those that want to accept the Lord in your life. Just repeat after me. Father, I confess my sins. I can do nothing on my own. Forgive me of my sins. Come and live in my heart. Change me. Make me what you'd have me to be. Now I want to just pray over you guys. Father, we want to pray for every individual here that wants to know you in a greater way, wants to know you and become close to you, wants to have a father that teaches and blesses and fights for them and cares and sacrifices. Lord, I pray that you'll become real in their lives today and that you'll make a change in their life. And Lord, I pray that those attributes that you have will spill into their natural life. And it will make them be the father that they should be for their family. I just speak a restoration to every father here and every father to be. Lord, I pray that you'll allow them to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord all the days that we're here. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like prayer, come to the front. We'll pray with you personally. And if you haven't said anything to your father today, you better get on your phone and send him a message. And if you have kids, I still think you should call your kids too. I think it goes both ways. So have a blessed week in the name of Jesus.